Session number 9926, Reel 2.
You know about while you're still training, and this would be Winchester and Salisbury.
Yeah.
Did you have the horses with you then? You were training the horses as well. You were trained on horses.
Oh yes. You'd have to have horses. There was no power then, but the horses were pulling, and they were trained, you see, to swing around with the guns. And, when we went there. There was Lord 38th Welsh Division, and there was another division there, the Lord Derby Division, at the same time, of course.
At Salisbury
Plain is a large plain, of course. And they were preparing to go outside. I don't know whether they went out.
And you trained together, did you? The field artillery and the infantry. Were you training together, or were you quite separate?
Oh, no, it was all separate when we were firing, you got, you see, yes. And they were having training outside Winchester, Abington Park, where we were billets there then, you see, in Abington Park, Winchester. Crowds and crowds there, of course.
Well, how did you get on with the people in Winchester and Salisbury?
Oh, good. We used to go down there in the evening and get some sweets and something else. And walk back again.
Did you like the army life? Did you take to it well?
Well, I remember. I don't know what. When. When we went out, I could. From Winchester. The Queen were there, watching the march pass to before we went out, and her daughter, Queen Mary, Queen George's wife, King George the Fifth's wife, I believe, Queen Mary, she was there. The King wasn't there. In Winchester, they were watching the whole crowd marching past, and towards. Southampton, and her daughter was there too, Princess Mary, with her on the platform here. And when we went out, well, we were travelling by night then, and it was a large boat taking us out. We had teams of horses to pull the guns and guns and all, you see, and ammunition of all sizes to die out. And travelling by night from Southampton to Arlington.
What was the date when you went out? What date was that when you went to France?
December, about the middle of December, I think.
And the 38th Division, you were all together?
38th Division, of artillery, you see, artillery. And the guns, horses and all that, I remember quite well. The horses, we were on the upper deck, it was dark. And you're not supposed to show this much, because some time before that, the same year, was the Lusitania went down by Ireland, Irish coast. Well, 1,500 men, women and children went down with the boat then. That's what many thought, of course. That's what brought the Americans in, of course, in the long end. And the horses were down on the deck below us. And it was pretty rough, but it was dark. But you could see a shade of the destroyers on either side, you see, coming back, far away back, you see. And you were not allowed to show, it'd be a crime to show cigarettes or lights, leave alone any other, it was absolutely dark. And the wind was whistling, tide swashing against the boats, and I remember the horses were zigzagging as if they could hear them sliding, you see, because they do get drunk. I drank on seasickness. Yes, they were sick. Some of them were, they couldn't stand up properly, you know, because. When we landed the other side, we went up now, it's daylight now, of course.
Where did you land?
On Le Havre. That's about 105 miles, I believe, something like that. We're going by night, of course. And the following day, on the way up, now then, towards, that's our aim was, to travel up now. It was country then, it was the beginning of the war, as if you're traveling from here to London, you're all your country on the either side of you and all this and that. And we were working up now towards the line, I believe it was the festival of Bethune and Levante, and those places on there, not far, just by Lewes, yes, it's on that piece there, from the Somme up towards Armentières. Armentières is still air up again, until we go up to Belgium. And that's where we landed up. We went in there first of all, on that front there. But before we went up, I've thought about it many a time, we were stopping now to have a chat or something on the way up. The whole column was moving, horses and all. There was a crowd there, decent sized crowd of inside what do you call something like a chicken pen or a chicken coop, you know, inside there, about, I'd say about 12 or 15 feet high, with a mesh size, of course, like pig wire, stronger than the thin one, you know. And you couldn't get your foot anyway, so the mesh was too small. And our officers now were in contact with somebody there, somebody in charge, where we were passing, you see, we had a break there. And they were the Hewlands, the champion, the crack German Hewlands, you see, the supposed to be cavalry, the German cavalry. So a big, decent crowd that were here. And I remember looking and watching them then. They were strapping young fellows like us then. And looking down, you try to, they're inside, and we were looking from the outside in, cooped in here until they had a chance to cross to Brighty, you see, they were on their way. And I've thought about it many a time, whether you could trace any kind of pity for us or hate that we are there at all, or a bit of both, or a bit of being glad themselves that they were going away from the and they were having a good time here. Yes, according to many who stayed here and married, especially in the country here, many had a good job here working the farms. They were having a good job. Different, a great friend of mine up here, Arthur Lowe, Not the fellow, but Arthur, he was in the Grenadier Guards when the war broke out. And of course, he was over in the country on a Sunday. when it happened. And as soon as he came back, I believe, that day, they were telling him in the house for him to pack up at once from London now to join the Grenadier Guards in the, he was on reserve, you see. He had done so many years in London.
Yes.
So I was thinking now.
This was your first look at Germans, was it? When you saw the prisoners in the cage?
Yes.
Yes. What did you think? You know, you
well,
were
they
so...
Well, they were strapping young fellows, and they were a bit coy, you know, but a bit shy. Or something. They didn't want to stare as much at you. And we weren't going to stare at them either. But
what did you feel towards...
It passed to the mind, didn't it? Well, these fellows could be like the Japs. The Japs, you see, we might say, what do we mean by a person being afraid or a coward, if you like, or anything like that, then? When it comes to the mind, isn't it? The danger is always when you walk in against bunches of being cut off like this and collared by the enemy. They're coming here about 10 to 1 to meet you. You're outnumbered and all this and that. The first thing you should do, in common sense, I mean, not cowardice or anything, drop your, you've got no chance at all. That's what they do. That's why we can find prisoners on either side. Well, you'd have an upstart here and there. Somebody would go, crackers, isn't it? We're working together now then. And all at once I started pumping into these crowd here. Well, you and the next to you, know, what do you expect now if I do this? And we are not firing at one another now. But the danger is that you will find a person that got who's gone, he's doing the wrong thing.
Yes, you've got to stay cool and calm.
Yes.
Now, could you tell me, you know, here you were going up the line,
weren't
you, in northern France?
Yes.
And you say, this is before the Somme battle,
before
of course.
Before the Somme, yes.
Yes, and you were getting your first experience of the front line.
Yeah.
What were you doing then? Was there any action?
Yes. The point is, to start off with, we do have, most people will have an idea then that the artillery is back here, about a mile, say, from the front line, mile, perhaps more, but because you're not in line, this battery is on there, this battery is back here, zigzagging, it all depends on the cover, it all depends what shelter you've got. And build a right around it during the night, sandbagging, well, there's no sand, to cover, mix, and so forth. Well, the idea many have, of course, is, oh, I'm seeing a bang, bang, and the other bellow with I had on the Somme there, while we were advancing there, I remember.
Yes, you tell me about that later. But you were telling me about the role of the art, what you were doing before the Somme battle.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you know,
yes.
If you could tell me what
yes,
you...
Yes, yes. Mm. We were going up there in turns. I remember when we were advancing from the canal, from Ypres up Pilcombe Ridge, or Rise, I guess, towards Meningate.
This is in the early beginning, is it? 1915?
No, 1916.
Yes, before you go down to the Somme.
Before we went down to the Somme, yes.
Mm-hmm.
We went up there. What do you call...
This would have been, I suppose, more a situation of stalemate, wouldn't it?
Yes, yes.
You know, early 1916, yes.
And now, when we started pushing them back, you see, and following up then, galloping up Pilgrim Ridge Down, they knew by giving way and giving back, they had their maps, the same as we had our maps, and especially the officers and that, and got their maps and plans of every crossroad and every what you fire on during the night, and all this and that, you open out, a bit of guesswork, well, not guesswork, planned, from here now then to the Wine Square, from here to Hammerford, from here to still wherever, yeah. You know there's a lot of traffic there by night, naturally. By day you'd have, you know, these balloons, you'll find these sausage balloons we had here during the last war. They were out during the First World War. You could show you the German balloons up by, you see, and I was behind us a couple of miles, yeah, watching and taking pictures and all this and that, and telescopes of sight, you see.
Did you also have connections with these signals? Would you have had a signaller with
you? Oh, yes, yes. That's... Now, in a place like that, going up Pilcombe Ridge, I remember...
Would that not have been... Would Pilcombe Ridge have been later in the war? Wouldn't that have been 1917?
Oh, yes.
Yes. Yes. Now, I'm thinking of the earlier part of the war, but I think, really, it would be a good idea if we now go to the Mametz Wood, don't you? If we now go to the Somme Battle.
Yes.
So after having this period, getting used to the situation, it would seem, in the north, could you tell me how you came down towards the Somme area?
Oh, towards the Somme area?
Yes, I'm going to ask you now about the Battle of the Somme and Mametz Wood. Yes, I think we'll get on to that.
We went up and we came back the second time down to those parts, you see.
Did you?
When we went up now then to start with, from towards Festubert, we'd be passing Mametz Wood. There, Mametz Wood, say, is roughly about a mile square mile of wood, and timbers and all that. There, and the distance, but Mametz Wood, although we could, passing through the country, like you could see the distance, you could see the hoods in the distance, say a mile away or more or less, because they were behind the German line, and the German line was going up towards the sea in Belgium, and our line, this side, now no man's land, exactly the same, practically. So when we were out there, Mametz Wood wasn't attacked then by us then, although you could see these blocks, and other small blocks of wood, what do you see here? Not just like in Forest of Dean or something like that, I suppose. You have blocks like this, you see, different parts of the country. But the Mametz Wood was the biggest square, about 1 square, roughly, or something like that. And when we were coming back, now, that was in July the 1st, we are down there, I believe, and the battle and the bombing and the shelling and this and that, all that.
Did you
and
see
what happened when we were coming from there? Well, there were nothing but stumps of wood there.
Yes, I was wondering, when you came into that area, you say in July the 1st, did you see signs of the main battle of the Somme that was going on? Did you hear the bombardment, for instance,
well,
beforehand?
The real battle would be about the 5th or 6th or something like that, I believe. Oh, the real bombardment, the big thing, that, from from the July the 1st, we're supposed to. But then you had to find your way a bit. And there's another thing again. You'd have to be cautious. We found, especially around Armentieres, we were advancing now. We are coming now to 1918 at the end of the war.
Yes. Now, I think if you don't mind, because otherwise it gets very confusing, if I could just ask you about Mamet's Wood.
Oh, yes.
And so could you tell me how you moved into that area in July 1916?
Yes.
Yes. When you heard that you had to go to Mamet's Wood.
We came down from the top Armentieres, like that, working down on the...
So that
you
was quite
come
a...
out, you see, and you're coming down, and we were there at the beginning of July then, firing in when they were ready, you see.
Yes. This Could is you the tell point. Me about your position, you know, where your guns were put into position? I know about Caterpillar Wood, and there was another wood, wasn't there?
Yeah.
Which was called Bottom Wood, I think.
Yes,
is that right?
Yes, there's a few blocks there.
Yes, how did your guns relate to those two wood? Where were they positioned?
Oh, well, you could... you were in the fields here this side then, facing Mamet's Wood and facing those woods, you see. And you'd be firing where your... according to the hoarders, you were having on the phone and all this and that. Because you'd have to depend a lot on the telephone, on the phone. Because the officer in charge, I mean, in charge of your battery, he'd be on. That's why he'd be on with the infantry and all this and that, you see. And
so
when
could
it shoots,
and the
then
of
to
the
tell you back what part... I don't remember what part you would be firing at. Because it was a...
But can you remember the beginning of the battle? Did you put a bombardment on the wood before the infantry went in?
Oh, yes, you'd have to. And then you'd have to be careful again.
Well, could you tell me about that? Because we'd really like to understand what you saw, what you did, and what you saw on that first day of Mamet's Wood battle.
Oh, well, the infantry was... advancing through the gaps, you see, on the side of the wood and all of that. And there was some big blunders that you would find always in a place like that, isn't it? And we'd have to be very careful how long, how far you were going to fire over the wood, because there are villages behind very often. You would find with the French living there.
Yes, but with Mamet's Wood, when you fired, what were you trying to do with your artillery
firing into the wood and firing over, of course, and you were risking a lot. Point is, after the...
Were you trying to silence their machine guns, the German machine guns? Did you...
You wouldn't see them in front of a wood like that.
No, but it's
a mile of a wood, you see.
Yes.
They were pop, 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 and the sound, of course, the sound was terrible, night and day, you see. Somebody would be firing all the time.
Yes.
Boom, 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 boom.
Yes, and how about the wire? I was wondering also trying to break that with your gun?
You're firing to break that, yes. And well, it wasn't properly fired, properly cut. Very often, you see, not properly cut. You were firing to blast the place, but it didn't turn out to be right. There's no doubt about that, because you can't see everything. You've got to guess, a lot of guesswork going on behind heaps or not, behind trees and all this and that. And Mamet would say, when that was a peaceful place, I dare say they had a main path through the place and a little path here and there and shrubs, you know, and the things that got going to the foot of the, at the base of the trees and all that. Well, after, when the infantry was going in there, naturally, they're going to be very cautious, because after being inside the German line for a long time, there could be mines there, could be everything there, apart from the shells and things like that. See, that's a trouble.
Yes.
That's what you call it.
From your gun emplacement, did you have a good view of what was going on when the Welsh, you know, the various battalions went in to attack? Could you see them going up towards the wood?
Oh, yes. Yes.
Could you tell me about that?
Well, of course. They'd be going into the woods, you know, passing the woods. You know what I mean? Then you'd lose them all at once, you see.
Did you see many casualties, many men hit?
Oh, yes. Somebody was carried back and all that. Terrible. Yes.
You'd
see that everywhere, of course. On the line, when, especially when pushes like that. Well, you couldn't see through the hood, and once a wave would go over here, yeah, and push in, well, you lose them. They're in there and they're trying to hide, and that's how it is, you see. And then amongst them would be your own officer giving command where to advance. You see, to rise or drop the distance, I mean, in shelling and all of that.
Yes.
Because you could make mistakes. I mean, supposing they'd gone a little too far or something like that, or a little too... things like that do happen. There's no doubt. You've got no guarantee that you know that it's happened, but it's so possible that it has happened.
Yes, I was wondering, you know, once they had got into the wood,
yes,
did you have to then stop firing because you might have hit your own men?
Oh, you would have to, yes, you'd have to be careful, you see, if you were notified, if you get the, what do you call,
the signal,
that you're fine, you've got to be very careful that your range is... too short, the range of fire, and the way the length of your, when you go too short, or you'll be dropping on your own men who are advancing, and you're going to be, it's a lot, so you've got to be sure then that you're firing far enough on fricks like that, you see, especially when you can't see in woods and stumps of woods blasted all over the place.
Yes, bits and pieces. Yes, I was wondering, you know, what you would have seen, you know, as the battle went on these 4 or 5 days, you know, as you looked at it. Did the wood sort of, was it gradually changed, the look of it?
Oh, there's so many, the ground and everything ploughed up with heavy shells and all this and that, you see. Like an open cast, with different parts of...
Was it? Is that what it looked like? An open cast
line? Oh, well, no, different parts of the line, I mean, but not there now then, about an open cast. But after a hood like that has been bombarded with so many batteries concentrating, because that would be the stumbling block, that a big hood like that would be a stumbling block, with a strong enemy behind it and halfway through it and hiding and this and that, you've got to be very careful. That's the distance, that's the difference. Makes all the difference.
So would you say it was very important to get that wood, you know, tactically?
Oh, yes, there's no doubt about that, you see. But according to the reports we've had, you and I or anybody else, we were there, but we don't know what the orders were behind the scene. And it makes all the difference. But we are supposed... we're supposed to have had... the people who have given orders have made the very large mistakes there, telling the infantry to go on the race, you see, and nothing... and thinking that there was nobody there, when all the Jerrys are there riding and all this and that, crossfire and this and that, on the way, passing the woods or something like that, when you're halfway through or going behind it or something. That's the...